Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Nun Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the top of Daf Nun Zayin. Let us point out that from this point till the Mishnah, the Gemara will be dealing with one topic. We will be focusing on the Machlokes Tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi regarding a woman's agreement to receive less than the formal Ksuba requirement. If we speak about a Besula, so we know she gets 200 Zuz. We saw an arrangement whereby she can write a receipt or say to her husband that I consider it as if I received already 100. And he's then obligated to a Ksuba of merely 100 for the Besula wife. We have a highly structured piece of Gemara, and we will also be providing some tables in order to follow the different opinions that we see in the Gemara. A Gemara like this is characterized by many, many names. For some, that presents a great difficulty because for every name and possibility that it accounts for an additional variable. So we're going to have to bear in mind numerous names and situations, and in order to assist in that effort, we're going to also rely on the charts that we have in the margins of our Gemara. In addition to the charts, we also have geometric shapes, and in order to appreciate those, we glance at the side of the Gemara, where we have our Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei, the topic heading, the Mivneh structural note, which we've combined into one. So we have diamonds, and you'll notice that the diamonds highlight Ki Osa Rav Dimi, and later Ki Osa Ravin, that you can see on the fifth wide line of the Gemara. These are Lashonos Rav Dimi V'Ravin, Shemivim Divrei Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Rabbi Yochanan. Each one, Rav Dimi and Ravin, will present Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. Bekeshel Machlokis Hatanoim Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda. Regarding that Machlokis, Beim Isha Yechoylo Limchil Al Chelik Miksubasa Afilu Al Peh Oidavka Biksav. Can a woman forego a part of her Ksuba orally, or only if she writes a formal receipt? You'll notice that just in this mere, in this simple presentation, we have 6 names. That is Rav Dimi and Ravin, who then present Rabbi Yeshua ben, each one presents Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, who in turn refer to the Machlokes Tanoim, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. The crown shape that you see highlights the word machloikes. It highlights where, under what circumstances there is a machloikes, and that's a reference to the machloikes tanoia between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, and under what circumstances is there no machloikes. You'll see a bow tie shape used to highlight the name Rabbi Avo. And you'll see that in each presentation, Rabbi Avo, who, by the way, we didn't mention his name in amongst the 6 names, but we're going to be introducing later in the Gemara Rabbi Avo, and then a comment made by Rav Papa on that which Rabbi Avo said. So we're suggesting there are quite a few different names in this piece of Gemara. We're also going to be seeing expressions that refer to, you'll see Tchila and Sof, the beginning of something and the end of something. Those somethings are Chupa and Bia. Chupa is the entrance of the couple under a marriage canopy, and Bia is the act of intimacy that follows their Nisuin, namely that follows the ritual, if you will, or the practice of going under the marriage canopy. We're going to be focusing on these points in time, Tchila and Sof of each one, and let us emphasize that at a certain point in this discussion, you will notice that two phrases that represent times are actually overlapping. In other words, when we refer to the end of the chuppah, that is the same as the beginning of bia, bia being that act of intimacy. So we have these different time frames, and the possibility of an oral foregoing or forfeiting of part of the ksuba, that is a it's a greater possibility if it takes place, we'll say, early on as things progress. But once the couple gets more and more as closer or more intimate with one another, then the only way that we would say that she can, let's say, forfeit a part of the ksuba, then we would insist on something written. But the earlier in the scheme of things, there that increases, we'll say, the possibility of a of an oral forfeiting, an oral foregoing of part of the ksuba that we've been discussing. So far, our hope is that we're making some sense, but it could be somewhat abstract still for some listeners. So, as we go on in the Gemara, maybe what we'll do is we'll take a look at chart number one. This chart, we're going to say, is the Rabbi Avo approach to things. You'll notice the chart on the left-hand side of your Gemara page, pretty much like opposite halfway down the Gemara text. You can see a chart and a Roman numeral number one. On this chart, under that heading Tavla, Tavla is a table, Roman numeral number one, Be'inyan Machlokes Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Hamuva, on the Machlokes we saw on Daf Nun Vav Amid Beis, and we note in the upper right-hand corner of this chart, of this table, this is according to Rabbi Avol. Now, reading across the top of the chart, we have the different time, the points in time. Tchilas Chupa, that's the as the couple enters the marriage canopy. Then there's a time called Sof Chupa, which overlaps, which is the same as Tchilas Bia. And then there's Sof Bia. That's after the couple has completed their intimacy. The issue is, can a woman forego the ksuba without forego part of the ksuba without her actually writing a receipt? Now, the opinion that is associated with the writing of the receipt, this is the we saw this in the Mishnah, we'll say associated with Rabbi Yehuda. The idea of Alpeh, that will associate with Rabbi Yossi. The issue that we continue to deal with is under what circumstances do they, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, argue? So if we continue now reading our chart, or the table, you'll see going down the right-hand side, you see Rav Dimi, colon, and then you have Rabbi Shua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. And then later down on the chart, you see Ravin and his presentation of Rabbi Shua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. So now, reading Rav Dimi's presentation of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, he will tell you that the Machlokes Tanoim exists at Tchilas Chuppah. In other words, at that point, at Tchilas Chuppah, it's then that Rabbi Yossi will accept an oral forfeiting on the woman's part. But only then. If you reach something called Sof Biah, if you read that chart on Rav Dimi's version of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, you'll see that when you reach Sof Biah, then everyone is in agreement that the woman is not Mocheles. Rabbi Avo, in our Gemara, will be telling us that what appeared when you read the Gemara text as a machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi, it's not a machlokis. Rabbi Avo claims that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi are not arguing with one another. So if we continue reading on our chart, Rabbi Yochanan says that Tchilas Chuppah, like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that's when you'll have a machlokis tanoim. What about Sof Chuppah, which is Tchilas Biah? So Rabbi Yochanan says there's a machlokis then too. That's not at odds with anything that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. Simply put, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi didn't even address that time period, according to Rabbi Avo's presentation. And as far as Rabbi Yochanan and Sof Biah, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't comment on Sof Biah. He's in agreement with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that Sof Biah, everyone agrees, there's no mocheles alpeh, there's no oral forfeiting. When we continue on the chart, we then see Ravin's presentation of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. One thing that we must note is that, according to Rabbi Avo's approach, Ravin and Rav Dimi have a point of disagreement. And you can see it immediately. For example, Ravin's version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi claims that at Tchilas Chuppah, Divrei HaKol Mocheles, everyone, that means even Rabbi Yehuda will agree, the woman can forfeit the part of her ksuba orally. What did Rav Dimi's version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi claim on that? He said that is a machlokes. Ravin's version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says everyone is in agreement that she's mocheles. In fact, if you do a survey of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, of Ravin's different possibilities of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, you'll notice that under Ravin there is no point at which any of them claim that everyone will agree that Eino Mocheles. Therefore, according to Ravin, it comes out, Ravin's version of Rabbi Yossi is that she will always be able to verbally forfeit a part of her ksuba. No need for writing, according to Ravin's version of Rabbi Yossi, as Ravin presents Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. So, if we continue reading our chart, Ravin says that according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, at the point of Tchilas Chuppah, everyone agrees the Isha, the woman, is Mocheles. She can do the oral forfeiting. When you reach the Sof Chuppah, which is Tchilas Biah, at that point, you will find a Machlokes Tanoim. And it's at that point that Rabbi Yehuda says it's too far into the relationship that an oral forfeiting would be enough. She would have to write it out. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabbi Avo presents things, once again, when we read the Gemara, it will appear as if Rabbi Yochanan is arguing on Rabbi Shua ben Levi, but Rabbi Avo says no, that Rabbi Yochanan is not arguing on him, and all that Rabbi Yochanan means to say is that at Sof Chuppah, which is Tchilas Biyah, there is a Machlokes. Well, that's what Rabbi Shimon ben Levi said also. And as far as Sof Biyah is concerned, Rabbi Yochanan says that too is a point of Machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan, as far as Rabbi Avol is concerned, doesn't really discuss the issue of Tchilas Chuppah. So that after all is said and done, you will see, both according to Rav Dimi and according to Ravin, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan are not arguing with one another. As far as Rav Dimi and Ravin is concerned, they are arguing with one another. And you can see that on the, just by looking at the chart, when you look at Rav Dimi and Tchilas Biyah, he claims that's a machlokes. When you look at Ravin and Tchilas Chuppah, he claims that according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, everyone will agree she could be Machelis. Rav Dimi's version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had not so, not Divrei HaKol Machas, rather Machlokes. Now, as we turn to the Gemara text itself, we pick up the Gemara 7 lines from the top. Ki also Rav Dimi, Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapora. The Gemara itself has quite a few more names than we presented, but it's a standard situation of a string of names, and the same, say, sequence of names you will see later when Ravin introduces these shitas as well. So we've chosen specific names in presenting the sukya. So Rabbi Shua, according to Rav Dimi and his presentation of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, machlokes, the word machlokes is a reference to the machlokes Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, betchila. And at this point, we're not going to explain that which we already did explain by looking at the tables, at the first table, Roman numeral number 1. But at this point, we have to play along and just take the word at face value. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi claims that there's a machlokes tanoim betchila. Aval basof, again this word, basof, vague, it means at the end. L'divrei HaKol, all will agree, eino mocheles. There's no longer any possibility of an oral forfeiting. The forfeiting on the part of the woman takes place only if she writes out a receipt. Rabbi Yochanan Amar bein bazu, Bain Bazu Machlokes. And if you look at this like superficially, he says whether it's Betchila or Basof, there is a Machlokes. So as we, at first glance, it would appear that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing. According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, there's a Machlokes at the beginning, but not Basof. So if you were to focus on that time period called Sof, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, everyone agrees not mocheles, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, there still is a machlokes. Now, we're not wasting our time by presenting this, because what we just said, namely, we'll call it the superficial looking at things, that present Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi as arguing with Rabbi Yochanan, that approach, in fact, is the approach that Rav Papa, who appears later in the sukya, is the approach he prefers to take. And we can tell you ahead of time that Rav Papa would prefer having Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan arguing rather than have Rav Dimi and Ravin arguing. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Avol. It was told to me by Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan was one of the two opinions we just saw. Rabbi Yochanan told me, says Rabbi Avo, "Dianov Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi lo palugino nahadodi," that I, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi are not arguing with one another. Now, that we know to say that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi are not arguing with one another, that's thanks to Rabbi Avo. Later in the Gemara, Rav Papa will say, if not for Rabbi Avo's comment, if not for his report on that which he received from Rabbi Yochanan, if we had just Rabbi Shimon Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, I, says Rav Papa, wouldn't agree with what we're about to hear. But look, if Rabbi Avol said it, he said it. We're not going to argue on Rabbi Avol's report. So what did Rabbi Avol say? He says, "Well, I was told by Rabbi Yochanan that no, Rabbi Shimon Levi lo b'gin adodi, that we're not arguing with one another. My betchila dekama Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi made reference, according to Rav Dimi, of atchila there is a machlokes. What did he mean betchila? There is a machlokes. Answer tchilas chupa. At the very beginning of the nisuin process, at the beginning of the chupa." Then we have the machlokes tanoim, between Rabbi Yossi, oral forfeiting is enough, and Rabbi Yehuda say no, it's too late for that. Umay soif, and what does soif of Rabbi Shua ben Levi mean? In which he says everyone agrees, not mocheles. Everyone meaning even Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Yossi, who was in favor of the oral forfeiting, even Rabbi Yossi agrees, ain't a mocheles. You know what self means? Self bia. It's very late. It's the end of the bia time. So there are basically two time extremes that are referred to by Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Betchila meaning tchilas chupa, and self is self bia. At those two those are the time periods where Rabbi Shua ben Levi addressed the two extremities. We'll say. And when I said whether it's this or that, there is a machlokes. In other words, when I, Rabbi Yochanan, said what I did, making no reference to any divrei hakol situation, well, I'll tell you, tchilas chupa, v'sof chupa, dehi tchilas bia. I was referring to tchilas bia, and when I spoke about sof, I said, remember, Rabbi Yochanan said, bein bazu, whether it's betchila or basof. But what did the tchila and sof of Rabbi Yochanan mean? So the tchila of Rabbi Yochanan meant tchilas chupa, there's a machlokes. What did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say about tchilas chupa? Also, machlokes. What does sof mean according to Rabbi Yochanan? Sof chupa. Not sof bia, sof chupa. It's an earlier time period, which is synonymous with tchilas bia. At that point, there still is a machlokes, and we add the main point. But sof bia, Rabbi Yochanan concedes. Everyone will agree, eino mocheles, just like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So this point, that there's no argument between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, this is something that we learned from Rabbi Avol. And all of this was presented by Rav Dimi. So that the result is that when you're according to Rav Dimi, when you're at the Tchilas Chupa, everyone agrees there's a machlokes. Ki also Ravin Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapor. All the names are the same as we saw when Rav Dimi presented his case, and therefore we're just focusing on chosen names. Ravin's version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Machloikis Lebesof, Avo Betchila, Divrei Hakol Mecheles. If you will, Ravin's approach is a more lenient approach, whereby we mean is that there's a woman can more easily forfeit under Ravin's circumstances, namely that you have a tchila situation where all tanoim would agree she can orally forfeit. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's shita, according to Ravin, is that there's a machlokes besof, but betchila everyone agrees mocheles. Rabbi Yochanan Omar bein bazu machlokes. Whether it's betchila or basof, there is a machlokes. So when you look at things again at first glance, he's saying there's always a machlokas, even betchila. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said that the betchila everyone agrees. There's no machlokas. The same as we saw above. I was told by Rabbi Yochanan that no Rabbi Shua ben Levi lo palginon adodi, that I and Rabbi Shua ben Levi are not arguing with one another. My libesof, Yom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that besof, there is a machlokes. What time period is that? Sof chuppah. And we wrote in our marked gemaras, our shas ozer, we wrote sof chuppah is the same as tchilas bia. Umay tchila. And what is tchila of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, where he said everyone agrees, mocheles? That's tchilas chuppah. That's at the very beginning. Beginning of the chuppah. V'chi kwamina ano bein bezu machloikas. And when I said that whether it's tchila or sof, there's a machloikas, I was referring to tchilas bia v'sof bia. Tchilas bia is the same as sof chuppah. What did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say about sof chuppah? He said that at that point there's a machlokes. What does Rabbi Yochanan say about sof chuppah? There's a machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan says that sof bia is also a point in time in which there's a machlokes. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi didn't address that time period. Sof bia. So that having been said, there's no machlokes. According to Ravin's presentation of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, there's no machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. We saw when we presented the sugya on the chart that between Rav Dini and Ravin there is a machlokas. What's the difference between those opinions? According to Rav Dini, tchilas chuppah, you'll find that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi claims it's a machlokes. According to Ravin's version, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, at tchilas chuppah, everyone agrees, mocheles. So you have essentially, according to this approach, we'll call it the Rabbi Avo approach, we have a machlokes between Rav Dimi and Ravin as to what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had said. Now, I want to say something that is based on the continuation of the Gemara, and especially that which you see in Rashi. It might sound a little harsh, but when you look at this approach, we'll call it the Rabbi Avo approach, Rav Dimi and Ravin cannot both be right. In other words, each one, Rav Dimi and Ravin, are presenting what did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say. One is telling the truth, and one is not. That having been said, that's Rabbi Avol's approach to things. We have machlokesim in terms of, let's say, that type of machlokes. It's called you can say black or white. It's one is telling the truth and one is not. The other type of machlokesim, which have to do with, we'll say, subjective matters. What needs to be emphasized, what needs to be de-emphasized. Those are machlokesim, but they are, we'd have to say they're not black and white, but rather they are machlokesim that reflect, we'll say, subjective interpretation. But according to the way we've seen things up till now, through the eyes of Rabbi Avo, Rav Dimi and Ravin are arguing with one another as to what did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say. It's either this way or that way. They can't both be correct. Now, let's continue in the Gemara. And maybe before we do so, let us take a look at chart number 2. This chart presents the opinions of Rabbi Shimon Levi and Rabbi Yochanan through the eyes of Rav Papa. Rav Papa enters the picture by saying, listen, if we didn't have Rabbi Avo claiming that Rabbi Yochanan told him that he and Rabbi Shimon Levi don't argue with one another, I would have said that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi are arguing with one another. And that Rav Dimi and Ravin are not arguing with one another. Let's take a look at things through the chart or the table that we have on the opposite margin. You'll find on the right-hand side of your marked Gemara, about halfway down, the Tavla, Roman numeral number 2, we call it Rav Papa. Rav Dimi will tell us that there's a machlokes betchilas bia, which is dahainu sof chupa. And Ravin will tell us that there is a machlokes besof chupa, which is betchilas bia. Essentially, the same thing. Now, Rav Dimi has his version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, and Ravin has his version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. So when you're looking at the chart, let's take a look at Rav Dimi's version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. His version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that at Tchilas Chupa, he doesn't address that. Self Chupa, which is the same as Tchilas Biyop, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that there's a Machlokes Tanoyim. At Self Biyop, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi tells us that everyone agrees, Eino Mocheles. It's too late, she can't be Mocheles. Rabbi Yochanan, he tells us that at the Sof Chupa Tchilas Bia, there is a Machlokes. That is the same as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. However, Rabbi Yochanan says that when it comes to Sof Bia, there is still a machlokes. As opposed to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he said that at that point, it's too late. Everyone would agree she's not mocheles. Rabbi Yochanan feels that even though it's so late in the game, Rabbi Yossi will still say that an oral forfeiting is possible. Now we look at Ravin's version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He says that at Tchilas Chupa, everyone agrees she could be Mocheles. Do you see that Rav Dimi's version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi on Tchilas Chupa, he didn't even address that? So we can't say that Rav Dimi and Ravin are arguing about what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. He's simply, as far as Rav Dimi is concerned, we don't have any record as to what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said about that time period. And thanks to Ravin, so we know that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi at that point in time said everyone agrees she could be Mocheles. Rabbi Yochanan, actually, as far as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is concerned, when you get to Sof Chupa Tchilas Bia, at that point, there would be a machlokes. When you look at Rabbi Yochanan, at Tchilas Chupa, there is a machlokes. Not that everyone agrees. You can see that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan would be arguing. According to Rav Dimi, if you just back up a bit, when you look at the Sof Bia situation, there, too, you see Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan arguing. As far as Ravin's version, Rabbi Yochanan, concerning the Sof Chupa, that time period is a machlokes. That's what you can see on the chart. So that what you come away with from Rav Papa is that Rav Dimi and Ravin are not arguing with one another as far as what the earlier Amoroyim had said. So that as far as Rav Dimi and Ravin are concerned, they they are both correct. In other words, they, Rav Dimi and Ravin, do not present a conflict with regard to what each particular Amora had said. In other words, Rav Dimi's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi can coexist with Ravin's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So they're not arguing as to what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. Likewise, Rav Dimi and Ravin are not arguing as to what Rabbi Yochanan had said. So now the Gemara. Omar Rav Papa. Ilav di Omar Rabbi Avo, if Rabbi Avo had not said the following, follows a quote, it's a line and a word. L'didim of Shalmi Nei Rabbi Yochanan, I was told by Rabbi Yochanan, Danov Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lo Pal Ginon Adoti, that we are not arguing with one another. Had that not existed, that namely that comment of Rabbi Avo, so Rav Papa says, Hava Amino, I would have thought that Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Pligi, Rav Dimi v'Ravin, Lo Pligi. My sof de ka'omar Ravin, when Ravin spoke about a machlokes besof, what was the sof that Ravin was referring to? Sof chupa. Umay tchila de ka'omar Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi had said that at the Tchilo there was a machlokes. Just like Ravin said that at Sof there was a machlokes, Rav Dimi had said, B'Tchilo there's a machlokes. And what does Tchilo of Rav Dimi mean where there is a machlokes? Tchilas Bia. Tchilas Bia is the same as Sof Chupa. So it comes out that Ravin, who said Sof, concerning which there's a machlokes, and Rav Dimi, who spoke about tchila, concerning which there is a machlokes, they're basically talking about the same time period. And that same, and what is that? It's a sof chupa. My komash molon. Here the Gemara is asking a very, very basic kind of question, and that is, what is Rav Papa's agenda over here by telling us if Rabbi Avo had not said what he did? But he did say it. He said it. And Rav Papa recognizes it. He's not denying that it was said. What message is Rav Papa trying to communicate to us by telling us had Rabbi Avo not said what he did? The Gemara answers, Ha Komash Molon. The following is what he wants us to understand. It's a lesson that is beyond this particular sugya per se, because this sugya per se has been dictated to us by Rabbi Avo. But in general, if you have a situation where there are, let's say, deos that appear to be arguing with one another, and you have to struggle in how to understand and formulate the machlokes, and you have, let's say, you have two options. The following is what Reb Fobel wants us to understand. The pligi trei amoroi ataimo dinafshayu. It would be, let's say, preferable to have, like in this case, Reb Shua ben Levi and Reb Yochanan arguing about something that we'll call it conceptual. Velo pligi trei amoroi alibo dechad amora. Rather than have two amoroim like Rav Dimi and Ravin arguing as to what one amora had said, as for example, having Rav Dimi and Ravin arguing as to what did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say, because in that case one one is lying, I think, as you'll see in, if you look in the Rashi, he uses a very harsh language. They cannot both be right. So that if we take a look together in the Rashi, we're looking at Rashi together in the wide lines, the sixth of the wide lines under the Gemara's under the Gemara text. Hokamash Mulan. The Hechod Ashkan Amoroi the Pligi Adodi. Where you find Amoroim arguing with one another, Kol Chad Aliba Denafshe. Each one presenting his own opinion of matters. Utre Amoroi Achrini the Pligi Beplukta the Hanach Amoroi. And two other Amoroim who are arguing concerning this earlier Machlokas Amoroim. Vislan Lefushi Milsa Betray Lishni. And there stand in front of you two paths in which to analyze the later Amoroim vis-a-vis the earlier Amoroim. Chadominayu, one approach is Miflug Tre Amoroi Aliba Denafshayu. That you have two Amoroim, using our examples, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi, have their own, let's say, conceptual machlokas. Shekol echad omer svora shelo. Each one says his own interpretation. Kagon Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Levi. Those are the Rabbi Yochanan is giving his interpretation of the machlokas Tanoim, and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is giving his interpretation of the machlokas of the machlokas Tanoim. V'inoch tre amoroi alibo dechad lo miflegi, and the later two amoroim, Rav Dimi and Ravin. When you take those two and focus them on one of the earlier opinions, lo miflegi, they're not arguing with one another. Elo amri chada milsa. Namely, Ravin and Rav Dimi agree as to what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had said. V'chadomin lishna, another approach to this situation, miflegi tre amoroi alibo dechad, that the two later amoroim, Rav Dimi and Ravin, are themselves arguing within one of the earlier amoroim. Kagom Rav Dimi Ravin, umashvi milsa de tre amoroi, Kamoi Chada Milsa. And they, Rav Dimi and Ravin, had made the earlier opinions, namely the opinions of Rav Yochanan and Rav Shimon ben Levi, as they are not arguing. Those are your two approaches. Shavkino Nahi Lishna, we would abandon, leave aside, reject the second approach, the Miflegi Tre Amoroi Aliba Dechad, where you would have Rav Dimi and Ravin arguing as to what did Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi say. V'naktinon Hahi, and rather take the first approach, the Miflegi Tre Amoroi Aliba Denafshayo, where Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi are arguing between themselves. You have Rabbi Yochanan's presentation of the Machlokas Tanoim, and you have Rabbi Shimon Levi's presentation of the Machlokas Tanoim. The Chipligi Tre Aliba Dechad, when you have a situation where, like we saw Rabbi Avo's approach, which said that Rav Dimi and Ravin argued as to what did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say, Mar Omar Hochi Omar Ploni, Umar Omar Hochi Omar Ploni, each one says, thusly said Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chad Minayu Mishakir, here we see Rashi uses that, one of them is lying. Avoki Pligi Tre Amoroi Bedin Obisir Veheter. However, when you find two Amoroim arguing over a law, or a din, generally speaking, covers monetary matters or matters of Isur Veheter, matters of religious concern. Kochad Omar Hochi Mistaber Taimo. Each one is saying it appears more likely this way, and the other one is saying it appears more likely that way. In kan sheker, you don't have an issue of a lie. Kochad v'chad svorodidei ko'omar. Each one is saying his own take on things. Mar Yoiv Taimel Eteru, Mar Yoiv Taimel Isura. One gives reasons for being more lenient, the other one gives more reasons for being more restrictive. Mar Medami Mil Silvahachi, Mar Medami Le Binyan Achrina. Each one compares the matter at hand to something else. V'ika Lameimar, and at the end of the day, you can say, Eilu V'eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim Heim. Both have truth to them. Zimna Dishaya Chaitaim, Zimna Dishaya Chaitaim. Sometimes this reason is more applicable, and sometimes that reason is more applicable. Shatam is hapich l'vishinu yidvorim b'shinu mu'at. As life goes on and time goes on, reasons change according to different changes in other circumstances. So, just to summarize, we have Rabbi Avo in his actual presentation of Ravin and Rav Dimi, and you have Rav Papa's take on things, which differs from theoretically differs from the approach that Rabbi Avo had suggested here. I say theoretically because in actuality Rav Papa is not denying what Rabbi Avo said, but if in another case, given a choice of these two paths, you can see that Rav Papa would have chosen a different path of analysis. We now turn back to the Gemara. We have a new Mishnah. Noisle besula shneimo sur chodesh mishetovo haba lefarnes es atzmo. Ukshem shenoisim leisha kach noisim leish lefarnes es atzmo. We give the besula, the girl, 12 months from the point at which the husband, the Oros, asks to enter Nisuin. So from the point that he's Toveh, he requests from her, he instructs her, let us approach Nisuin. From that point, 12 months are given for her to Lefarnes Hatzma, to get her needs together. This includes, Rashi speaks about the Tachshitin, different jewelry and cosmetics that a woman needs. And just like we give for the woman that amount of time, we also realize that the man needs time as well to get the funds needed for the meal and other tzorchei chuppah matters. That's 12 months that we give to the besula. The Rashi on the Mishnah says, "Nosam besula zman." To inform her, to warn her regarding chuppah matters, and to get her other needs or tachshitim in order. The Mishnah goes on, ulalmona shloishim yom. The woman who is getting married for a second time, she is getting married as a widow, we give her 30 days with regard to the time between the, the first stage and the second stage of her marriage. Higia zman velo nisu, oichlos mishelo veochlos betruma. When 12 months have gone by in the case of the besula, or 30 days in the case of almona, and they didn't consummate their marriage with Nisuin, so the women at that point are entitled to be supported by the husbands. And if the husband is a Kohen, she's entitled at that point to eat Truma. As the Mishnah goes on, it deals with the case of a man who is a Kohen. The husband is a Kohen. And the time has come. So what exactly does he give her? Rabbi Tafan Omer Noisin Lo Hakol Truma. She's given exclusively Truma. No Chulin and Truma, but just Truma. Now, there's a problem, and Rashi alludes to it. A woman, when she's Tmeya, and a woman, assuming the woman's a regular, standard type of woman, on a monthly basis, a couple weeks out of the month, she experiences impurity, defilement. The female menstrual flow imposes a state on her called nida, at which point she's tamea and she cannot eat truma. Truma demands a person be in a state of ritual purity, tahara. So if she's going to receive only truma, what is she going to do during her tamea days? She's going to sell it she's going to sell the truma. Truma, by the way, is sold only to kohanim, and hence the market value is less because it has a less public appeal. She'll sell it when her tuma days come, or in anticipation of her tuma days, and she'll buy chulin. Rabbi Akiva Omer, regarding the same issue as to what the Kohen husband provides for her, mechza chulin umechza truma. Half chulin for her tome days and half truma for her tar days. Hayavam eino machil betruma. The husband that a woman was married to was a Kohen. He died. They had no children. He has a surviving brother. So she's a Yavama, and she's waiting for the Yavam to have intimacy with her. Well, during that waiting time, he's not machil betruma. He does not entitle her to eat truma. She might very well have eaten truma while she was married to her husband, the Kohen. But once he dies, and she's waiting for a Yavam, the Yavam does not entitle her to eat from Truma. And now the Mishnah goes on with different amounts of time. Asa shisha chadoshim b'fnei ha'baal, v'shisha chadoshim b'fnei ha'yavam. Let us say, of those 12 months, during which time she was not going to be eating Truma anyway, 6 months the husband was still alive. He died 6 months into the time period, and the balance of the 6 months to complete the year was in front of the, she was waiting for the Yavam. We should look together at the Rashi. At the Rashi, that about 3-4 lines from the bottom. Also, Shisha Chadoshim Mifnei Abal, Mehanoch Shnei Mosuchidesh Hakvuim Lo, Mishatova Abal, 6 months of the 12 months from the time that the husband had sought her out to enter Nisuin. Afilu Kulam Bifnei Abal, Ve'achod Bifnei Ayovam. We'll see this in the progression of the Mishnah, where for 11 months and 28 days the husband was still alive, Ve'achod Bifnei Ayovam, and he died, and then there was just one more day of the 12 month period that she was waiting for the Yavam. Afagav Deruba Bifnei Abal, Sof lo nischayim zeh b'chayav, as sof kol sof means that at the end of the day the husband never became obligated to support her. V'hu adin nami im nischayav b'chayav lo ochlo mishemes. And this is a significant point that Rashi is adding. He's adding that the same would apply if he became obligated in his lifetime. Once he dies, she does not continue eating the truma. The kinyan ba'al poka, the kinyan of the husband, the bond that she had with the husband stopped upon his death. However, if all of the time was in the presence of the husband and he simply tarried and didn't complete the nisuin, there would have been a time period that she would have started eating the truma. However, when he dies, that stops. Of course, we're talking about a case where there are no children. Otherwise, we wouldn't be speaking about a yavam at all. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Three lines from the bottom, case number two. Ve'afilu kulon b'fnei habal choser yoim echad b'fnei hayavam. Even if 11 months and 28 days were while the husband was still alive, and the last day, the echad b'fnei hayavam, the 29th day, was the woman was waiting for the yavam. O kulon b'fnei hayavam choser yom echad b'fnei habal, or she had been with the husband only one day of the 12 months. The first day, he died, and then there was a Yavam. Eino Ocheles B'Truma. She's not entitled to eat from Truma during those 12 months. Zu Mishnah Rishona. Up till now, this is called the Mishnah Rishona, the earlier teaching, which states that when the time comes, when the 12 months passes, she is entitled to eat. She's entitled to eat from the husband's property, the husband's account, the husband's funds. Based in Shalachreim Omru, a later court ruling stated, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Ein o isho cheles b'truma ad shetikones l'chupa. Even if 12 months go by, the woman does not eat from truma until she actually enters the marriage canopy. So that, according to the Beis Din Shalachreim or the Mishnah Achrona, the idea of a woman starting to eat from the husband's truma before an actual nisuin just does not exist. The Gemara will discuss the following topic. We look at the side. We have the nosei hamoker l'shiur zman shel yud beis chodesh. We want to find the source for this idea of 12 months. The Gemara. Mino hani mili. From where do we know this? Omar Rav Chisda d'Amar Kra. The Pasuk in the story of Rivka and her impending marriage to Yitzchak. The Pasuk says, Vayomer Achiha V'ima, her brother, known as Lavan, and her mother, said to Eliezer, the servant of Avram, who was seeking out a wife for Yitzchak. So Lavan and her mother, Rivka's mother, said, Teshev enara itanu yomim o yosar. What's the rush? Let her stay with us. Yomim o asar. Asar means 10. My yomim. And we have a double underlining scheme here, which is explained under the Mivneh, the Shlavei Birur, Mahu Yomim Dechtiv Eitzel Rivka. Trying to clarify, to understand, what does that word Yomim mean? Ilema Treyomi. That Lavan and Rivka's mother would say, maybe the girl should stay 2 days with us. Mishtoi Inishachi. Do people speak like this? Because look at the word again, but in the context of the Pasuk. Omru le trei yomi. They said to Eliezer, maybe she should stay with us 2 days. Omar lo ulo, and he responded, no, we've got to go. Omru le asor yomi. Would they go on then to suggest, after he rejected the suggestion of her staying 2 days, well, maybe she should stay with us 10 days. So not even 2 days. Now you're trying to elongate, to extend the period, which was already, even the shorter period was rejected. Certainly he's not going to accept such a suggestion of let her stay 10 days. Elamai Yomim, what was their initial suggestion? When they said to Eliezer, the servant of Avram, they said, maybe let her stay with us Yomim Shana. Maybe, listen, what's the rush? You don't have to take her so quickly back to Avram and to his son Yitzchak. Let her stay a year. Tichtiv, and this is where we see our source. Tichtiv, yomim tiagula. So we see in another context, the word yomim in Sefer Vayikra, where it refers to a totally unrelated topic, but you see the word yomim, a reference to a year. So in that pasuk, yomim tiagula, so we know that yomim means a year. The Gemara asks, v'ema chodesh dechtiv ad chodesh yomim. Here you see the word yomim together with chodesh. And this could make sense that they said to Eliezer Eved Avram, who wanted to take Rivka back with him, they said to him, maybe she should stay yomim, a month. And he said, no. So at least 10 days, that's reasonable. That's a normal way to conduct a conversation with suggestions. So the Gemara rejects this. Amri, donin yomim stam, mi yomim stam. When I have to evaluate what the word yomim in the pasuk of with Rivka, it was the word yomim without any other word attached to it. So I have to find another source like that. And that's the source in Vayikra Perichofe, yomim tiagulaso, so which meant a year. And that's what the Gemara means, what donin yomim stam, yomim stam, stam means the word yomim by itself, without something attached to it. The ain donin yomim stam, mi yomim shenemba behen chodesh. But I'm not going to decipher the pasuk by Rivka, where you have the word yomim alone, from a pasuk where the word yomim is in a compound expression, chodesh yomim. So that's why this last suggestion is not accepted, and we will stick with the word yomim meaning a year. And you see there that when in anticipation of a marriage, as was the case with Rivka, that it's a, let's say, a reasonable thing to suggest that a woman should wait a year before the nisuin. Actuality in the case of Eliezer and Rivka, so it seems that things were hastened. But as far as an acceptable type practice, you see that a year is learned from Rivka. Before we continue, we glance at the side. We have a nosei topic heading: Be'inyan kvias nisuin liktano kishik tigdal. We're gonna refer to a case of setting, we'll say, a wedding, setting a time, a date for the consummation of a wedding for a young girl, for a minor, when she will become a gedola, when she become an adult. The Gemara, Amar Rabbi Zera, Tana, Ktana bein hi uvein ovia yecholim le'akev. When it comes to a minor, if you imagine a minor that was given over in marriage to a husband, a man gave her father money, she became an arusa, and at a certain point the husband says, I want her for me to enter nisuin. So this Tanaic source says whether it be the girl or her father, they can resist and say no nisuin until she becomes a gedola, until she becomes an adult. An adult means 12 years of age. Bishlamo ihi motzi ma'akfa. I understand that she can resist. She can delay, say I'm not ready. And by the way, when you're dealing with the katana, it could be she's quite young. And so we're talking about this a resisting period that's going to last more than 12 months. Her ability to be ma'akev, that makes sense, elavia. But as far as the father is concerned, if it's fine with her to enter the nisuin soon, Avia mai nafka le mina, why should the father have any objection? The Gemara answers, Sovar, the father figures, Hashta lo yada. She's young, she's a ktana, she doesn't know exactly what she's getting into. Lamochar mimrada v'nafka. The father just imagines her this ktana, this minor, entering a consummated marriage, you know, consummating her marriage, and then she's living with the husband, and he has all kinds of expectations and possibly demands, and then she finds she can't handle it, and then she'll leave him. And what's going to happen when she leaves him? The little girl is going to come running back to me, says the father. The asio v'naflo ilvoi, she'll then come to me and expect me to take care of her. But more than that, we take a look at Rashi on the third line from the top. Mimrida v'nafka Timra Bivala, she'll tuchal lisbol, she'll rebel against her husband and she can't handle it. Vitaitse Vitova Eli Achit Tignon, and she'll come back to live with me until she becomes an adult. Vinimsei Tsarh Litashita Machirim, and then I'm gonna have to prepare new tachshitim, cosmetics and jewelry in anticipation of her marriage. So that's why a father would want to, even though the girl says it doesn't seem to mind, but the father will say, listen, we're going to hold off on your nisuin until you become a gedola. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rebbe Abba Bar Levi. Ein poiskin al haktano la sio kashi katano. Poskin means we don't make arrangements regarding a minor to have her enter nisuin as a minor. Aval poiskin al haktano la sio kashi gedola. Let's take a look at Rashi on the first narrow line. Aval poiskin v'dafka below kiddushin. We're talking when Rabbi Abba Bar Levi is telling us that we are poiskin, we make arrangements for the ketana and decide when she will enter nisuin as a gedola, that we can do. Rashi adds that's we're this is predicated on a arrangement making without kiddushin. Aval kiddushin bekatnus lo. We're not in favor of kiddushin, even though it's a halacha that's on the books. We're not in favor of it, of having kiddushin as a ketana. Ad shetigdal, formal kiddushin should not take place until she becomes an adult, means reaches 12 years of age. V'toymar v'floini ani roitze, and she would declare, I want to marry so-and-so. So the Gemara continues and says, Pshita, is it not obvious that you can make arrangements of regarding your daughter as a minor in anticipation of having her enter Nisuan as a gedola? Like, what's wrong with that? Why do I have to be told something that's so obvious? So, Mao de Temo, that if you're talking now about the wedding of the little girl, that's going to be the source of fear of pachad is generally speaking fear of we call it psychological distress from this point that will weaken her. Komash Malon, you don't have to worry about that. In other words, it's not going to be a factor. There might be a certain level of stress, but it's not something that will really cause her to become weak. Omar Rav Huna, Bogro Yoim Echad V'Niskatsha. Noisnin lo shloishim yoim kealmona. Rav Huna tells us that if a girl reached age 12 and a half, so she's now one day into her bagrus period, and then became mikudeshes, that's abrusa, we give her 30 days, and here, this giving of the time, as opposed to what we spoke about earlier, we're giving her the 30 days from the time of Erisin. When we spoke about the 12 months earlier, it wasn't 12 months from the time of Erisin, it was 12 months from the time that the husband sought her out to enter Nisuin. But regarding this case, this is a different case. She's reached adulthood of Bagrus, 12 and a half, and she enters Bagrus one day into Bagrus and then becomes Mekudeshes. She has 30 days during which to get herself all together. The assumption is that since she is she reached Bagrus before getting before entering Kiddushin, she probably prepared her stuff already. The topic heading that you see on the side, the Nosei Mivneh, Nosei is the structure, the topic heading, Mivneh is the structural note, features triangles. You can see if you scan ahead a little bit more, you'll see a few triangles. Kushos Aldino Sherav Huna. We're going to be raising questions on Rav Huna. Diomar Bogro Yom Echad V'nizkacha Noisim Law Rak Shloishim Yom Kalmona. We give her only 30 days as we would a woman who was entering a second marriage. Here we're not talking about a woman entering a second marriage, but we're treating her that way as far as this time frame is concerned. We spoke about the time frame during which after which she'll be able to demand her support from the husband. Meisvei Bogra Hare Hi Kitavua My Love Kitavua De Besula. Is it not so that the source is teaching us that once she reaches Bakrus, she's viewed as a Tavua, and that means we give her 12 months like we would a Besula. Now, Rashi adds, there's a nuance over here. De Besula, Rashi says, Shnei Moser Chodesh Mishas Erusin. 12 months from the time of Erusin. Well, whatever is, you can see it's not the same as Rav Huna. Rav Huna spoke about 30 days. Here you see 12 months. Lo, Kitvua di Almona. So the Gemara says when this Tanaic source says Bogra, she's like a Tavua, it means like a Tavua as an Almona. Tavua means she's sought out by the husband to enter Nisuin. She gets 30 days like we give to an Almona. Toshma Boigeres Shishoasol Shneimos Chidish Rabbi Lezer Omer Hayol V'chayav Bailo B'mizaneseo Yofer. Now, Yofer is not really the focus of our discussion, but that has to do with a husband's rights to annul vows taken by his wife. And in this context, we're talking about the husband being able to annul her vows without partnering with the father. Something that is, the idea of partnering with the father is something that we find by a Na'ara who had taken vows, and she's a Na'ara that's Mureses. But here we see, we're talking about a Bogeres, and it mentions the Bogeres having stayed a Bogeres for 12 months, in other words, since we say after 12 months the husband is chayav to support her, that gives him the right, therefore, to be the annuller, the exclusive annuller of her vows. But what do we see for our purposes here? We see that there's a 12-month period of time that the Bogeres receives, only after which does the husband have to support her. What did Rav Huna say? Rav Huna said, if you're talking about a Bogeres, she gets 30 days. After 30 days, she's supported by her husband. Here you see, after 12 months. The Gemara responds, Emo, Bogeres, v'sheshoaso shneimos chodesh. Rabbi Lezer Omer, hoyul, bailo chayim mezuzah, yofer. Two separate cases. Bogeres, after 30 days. A girl who was a Na'ara unto whom we give 12 months, after her 12 months. But we're not talking about 12 months given to a Bogeres. Two separate things. And with that, we defend Rav Huna. We continue. Toshma. We have another source. In this source, you see there's a dashed underlined section. And if you skip ahead just to that, you can see this is a very strong, this source will be a very strong kasha on Rav Huna. The dashed underlined section says, Bogro yoim echad v'nizkacha noistim lo shnei mosor chodesh. Well, that means that a girl who enters Bagrus, one day into Bagrus, and then receives Kiddushin, she gets 12 months. That's clearly not like Rav Huna. Now let's go over the whole source. Toshma, Hama'aris is a psula, person who offered money in exchange for her marriage, Bain Shetova Haba Vima Keves, whether it be a case where he seeks her out to enter Nisuan and she resists, Ubain Shetova He Ubal Ma'akev, or she sought out Nisuan and he delays, Noisnim Lo Shnemo Sochidish Mishas Tfiyo, Avalo Mishas Erisin. We give 12 months from the time of the seeking out, the request to enter Nisuan, but not from the actual time of the Erisin. So from the time of the Eris until the point in time she can start demanding her support from him could be longer than 12 months. Ubogro harehi ketavua. Ketzad. Bogro yoim echod v'niskatsha noisnim lo shneim osor chodesh. This, by the way, when the source says bogro harehi ketavua, this is reminiscent of what we saw before. At that point it was presented as a havamina, but here we see it's actually the way we learn it, where we thought that bogra harei ketvua meant like a ketvua of a basula who gets 12 months, and in fact that's what we say over here. So the source ends off by saying ularusa shloishim yom. That's a phrase that will be discussed shortly in the Gemara. But anyway, in this, from this source, we can say tufta to Rav Huna tufta. Is this a refutation of Rav Huna? The Gemara says yes, it's a refutation. My ularusa shloishim yom. Omar Rav Papa hachi komar. Bogeres sheavru oleo shneim osor chodesh bebagrus. Here's a girl that is basically 13 and a half years of age. She entered Bagrus, that's at 12 and a half, and then 12 months passed in Bagrus, that makes her 13 and a half. Viniskatsha, now she receives Kiddushin. Noisnim lo shloishim yoim kalmona. She gets 30 days during which we say she can, she gets her tachshitim together from the time of Erusin, after which she would then be able to receive support from the husband, kalmona, the same way, the same time period we give to an almona. Higiyaz man veloy nisu. We see, marking-wise, diamonds, Ula, and later Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. We're referring to the comment made in the Mishnah that if the time, the allotted time period comes and they still didn't enter Nisuin. So according to the Mishnah Rishona, so at that point she can demand her food support from the husband. The diamonds are featured on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading. Shtei shitois betam sha'ruso eino oicheles betruma. We'll see two explanations as to why an arusa who is marrying a Kohen does not eat Truma. Even though from a strictly Torah level, a purely Torah level understanding, the Pasuk says that which a Kohen acquires in exchange for money, if a Kohen buys a slave, if he marries, he offers money to a woman in exchange for her marriage, that's called Kinyan Kaspoy. At that point, she's entitled to eat Truma. That's on the Torah level, but practically we don't allow. One reason, Shemo Yimzigu. Second reason, Simpon. Let's mention these reasons before we go into the Gemara text. If we were to look at things on a purely Doraisa level, the day she receives money in exchange for her agreeing to marry, the husband would start giving her Truma. Imagine he gives her a bottle of Truma wine. Well, so she starts drinking some truma wine. She's from a house of non-Kohanim. She might, Shemo Yimzigu, she might have a cup of wine poured while she's home and share the wine with her brothers, with her father, with her sisters. It's all in the family. But they're not Kohanim. They're not entitled to eat from it. So that's a problem. Another problem we'll see later. It's called simpon. Imagine the man offers a woman money in exchange for marriage, and she accepts the money. Doraisa, she can eat. But midrabbanan, we say no. You know why? When the couple eventually gets together to live together as husband and wife in intimacy, he might discover some bodily defects or blemishes that for him are repulsive, they're unacceptable, and the husband will say, "Wow, I didn't know about this. This is all one big mistake." We would call that then a mekach tos, and the deal is off. Retroactively, the deal is off, and she was never married to him. What about the trumo she was eating in the interim? Well, that's a big mistake then, a big sin. So we say, since that is a possibility, the mum, the blemish, simpon literally is a reference to something that undoes, that annuls something, that voids something. So that because of this potential of marriage annulment, because of the blemish, then it wouldn't be a good idea for her to have eaten the truma in the interim. She's not any longer viewed as having been associated with a Kohen. Now the Gemara. Omar Ula. Davar Torah Aruso Bas Yisrael Echilis Betruma. From the Torah standpoint, once a girl, non-Kohen family, receives money in exchange for her agreeing to marry, that's called Erusin. She's entitled to eat Truma. Shenemar V'Kohen Ki Yikne Nefesh Kinyan Kaspoi. V'Hai Nami Kinyan Kaspohu. The Pasuk makes reference to the Kohen upon his entering a kinyan relationship. Kinyan can loosely be translated an acquisition, a bonding. We talk about acquiring slaves, acquiring a wife, which would have to do with bonding with the wife in a marital, legal marital arrangement. Once that is accomplished, so the Kohen thereby entitles the individual with whom he bonded to eat truma. So the arusa is a kinyan kaspo. That's from the Torah perspective. Matam omru einocha. So why is it that the rabbis said she does not? Answer: Shema yimzigu la kois beveis avia v'tashke lachia ulachosa or lachel ulachosa. We're afraid that during the Erusin period, the time between the Erusin and the actual Nisuin, if she's going to receive Truma right at the beginning, she might share the Truma with her family of non-Kohanim. Yimzigulal Kos literally has to be, it means pouring out a cup of wine, Truma wine. And she might end up sharing it with her family, her non-Kohen family members. Ihachi, if that is the concern, we have learned that if the time for the Nisuin arrived, the 12 months went by and there was some kind of delay, the Mishnah taught us that she's entitled to eat from his truma. Where is she? If there's a delay, she's still at home, isn't she? Isn't there the same problem of her sharing the truma with her family members? And yet, after the arrival of that time, even though she's still home, she's entitled to eat truma. The Gemara says, "Hasam duchta miyached la." In a case like that, where so much time went by, when the full amount of time went by, and there was this delay, so then a special part of the house where she is set aside for her, and only there she will eat. Rashi says, "Duchto miyachid lo meachar shuzon oisa tamid motzio mi beisavio miyachid lo mokim shelo tafsid mezaynoisav lechalkom lekrevel." Since the husband knows that he is, he has to support her, so he'll find a place outside of her house where she will eat alone, so that she does not distribute the food that he gives to her amongst her relatives. The Gemara continues with a question. Elo me'ato lokit kohen liYisrael. Lokit kohen is a worker. A worker who happens to be a kohen. Imagine a field worker who happens to be a kohen. He's working for a Yisrael, a boss. Lo lecho betruma. Well, a worker kohen should he's a kohen. He's allowed to eat truma, but yet we should say you cannot eat truma. Dilma osu lemechal badei, because the boss who's a non kohen might come to eat with him. If this is a fear about non kohanim partaking of the kohen truma food, so then even in this case we should prevent kohen workers from eating truma. We don't know of any such prohibition. The Gemara responds, Hashto mididhu safule. If you're dealing with a worker, certainly a field worker, the owner is expected to be the one to give him, the worker, food. Mididei achli. Could you imagine then that the boss who is the giver of the food, he would be the receiver of the food, that the kohen would be feeding him? That's so far-fetched. Therefore, there's no reason to prevent the kohen worker from eating truma. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Omar Mishum Simpon. Rav Shmuel explains why the Arusa does not eat from truma. It's because of the Simpon problem. What's the Simpon problem? We mentioned before that after from the time of Nisuin, he might discover that she has some type of blemish that makes her so undesirable in his eyes that he'll call the whole thing off. And then retroactively, from the time of Erusin, if she had been eating truma, she really was a non-Kohen eating truma. And that would be an Avera, a sin of a Zar, a non-Kohen, is forbidden to eat truma. Ihachi. Well, if that's your concern, Nifnasa l'chupa, v'lo nivalo nami. We know that a woman who entered the marriage canopy and had not had intimacy, she is entitled to eat truma. But why? If she has simply entered the marriage canopy but hasn't had intimacy with him yet, might he not later discover blemishes and call it all off? And yet here we allow her to eat truma. The Gemara answers, Hosam mivdak bodik la vahoder ma'ayel. You can rest assured that a husband, a man, has his ways through his, we'll say, female relatives of having his wife checked out. I say wife, you could say wife-to-be, but it's technically his wife, but they haven't consummated their marriage yet, but before they enter chuppah, the husband will have checked her out through his relatives. And that's what mivdak bodik la vahodar, and after the checking out, then he brings her to the chuppah. So that at that point, there's no more blemish concern. Elo me'ato. Once you mention the Simpon idea, Eved Kohen, Shelokhoi Miyisrael. An Eved Kohen is an Eved that a Kohen purchased. Remember, an Eved is a slave that's called Kinyan Kaspoi. So an Eved Kohen is an Eved that a Kohen purchased from a Yisrael. Shelokhoi Miyisrael. Lo lechol betruma mishum simpon. We shouldn't entitle the Eved that was purchased by the Kohen to partake of truma. Yet we know he does, but might not there be a problem of a simpon? Might the owner, might he not discover something that will cancel the purchase, the acquisition? The Gemara says, simpon ba'avodim leka. The issue of simpon coming along and being mevatel the mekach of voiding the deal, it's not something that exists. And now the Gemara goes through stage, point by point, why Simpon is not an issue by Avodim. The e-gavroi, if you're talking about some type of external blemish, ha-kachosilei, the Kohen who bought him saw it. He saw it and he bought him and it bought him anyway, so that it can't be a basis of a claim of undoing the deal. E-de-gavoy, if it's some type of internal sub-clothing blemish, l'mlocha kaboy v'shebasei silo ichbaslei. A person buys a slave not for beauty purposes, he buys him for work purposes. So that any hidden blemishes, some uncomely birthmarks or warts or what have you, that is not something that would be of any concern to the Kohen who just bought this slave. What other problems might you say? Nimsa ganavo kovyustus. You discovered that the slave you bought is a thief or a kovyustus, the top of daf nun ches, the word kovyustus, is a kidnapper. And then you would claim, oh, I didn't know he was that. Higio. Higio means the deal goes through. Rashi explains, Higio lo lokeach ve'ena mekach botel. The purchaser, the Kohen, receives him. The deal is not voided. Ubreisibo v'basim lachar peris, amochev l'chaver v'nim saganav l'kavius. It's a quote from a Tanaic source in Maseches Bava Basra, which describes someone buying a slave, and it turns out that he's a thief or a kidnapper. Igio shestamon ganovim heyman. That's what we want to emphasize here in the Rashi, that your average slave is that, a thief and a kidnapper, and or a kidnapper. And therefore, everyone knows, but they're taking a chance when they buy a slave that he's got these problems. So that wouldn't be the grounds of calling off the deal when you knew that at the beginning. Ma'iko, what's left? Liste mezuyin, o muhtav lamalchis, that the guy turns out to be an armed bandit. Liste mezuyin means armed. Weapons, an armed bandit. Or muhtav lamalchis, Rashi says, chota lamalchis at shetziva ligzolov shiagenu kol molzo. Guy's been sought out after by the government, the guy's has a wanted sign. Anyone who finds him, kills him. Well, a guy like that, hano kola islu, those are well known. And if you bought a guy like that, that's a listed museum or a muhtav lamalchus, then you must have agreed anyway. The Gemara asks Michti, Bain Lamar, Ubain Lamar, Lo Ochla. Whether you follow Ula's approach or Rav Shmuel's approach, the Arusa is not going to be eating from the Truma. My Binaya, what difference is there in this analysis? We had the analysis that she might pour wine for her non-Kohen family, or the discovery of a Mum. What difference would there be in these two reasons? Iko Binaya, the difference would arise in one of these, in these different cases, Kibel or Mosar Vaholach. And Rashi spells all of these out. Looking at Rashi on the second narrow line, Kibel Mosar Vaholach, Kibel Olov Baal Esamumen. Imagine a man accepts upon himself, I don't care what I discover under her clothing, it's all fine with me, I'm willing to accept it. So, if that's the case, l'simpon lekol mechash. If the whole reason for the arusa not to eat from the truma is gosa simpon, in this case, he was makabel on himself. Whatever simpon he would discover, she'll still be his wife. So you can give her truma right after the arusin. L'shemo tashkil achil achisa ikol mechash. But according to the opinion of Shmuel, who says that, I should say, according to the opinion of Ula, where he might feed, or she might share her truma food with her family, as Ula said, that still is a problem. So the fact that the husband was makabel alav the mumin isn't going to solve the problem if your chashash, if your concern is shema tashke. Rashi continues, mosar ho'av l'shluchei ba'al o shahochu shluchei av im shluchei ba'al. If the girl, the arusa, was given over by her father to agents, emissaries of the husband, to take her to her husband. Or father's emissaries went with her, left the father's house, en route to the husband's house. Well, if that's the situation, they're en route to the husband. Leko lemecha shematashki lechil achisa, dehales nu gabo. There's no more fear of her sharing her food, her truma, with her non-Kohen family. She's not there anymore. She's en route to the husband. Ve'ikol lemecha shlesimpon, but there still is concern about simpon. She hasn't reached the husband yet. So with that, you can see then a practical difference in terms of analysis, which reason you would give for preventing the arusa from eating truma. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.